Lord is blessed when he has a lot of his kids at his table. Amen. I used to be blessed when I saw all my kids at the table. Daddy's home. I'd come home from work and they'd be looking at me, staring up at me, waiting for me just to say something. Just to look at them and smile. They loved it. And I loved it so much. It's so awesome to have your children right in front of you, right in you and around you and part of you and excited about you. God's excited about us. He's unleashing his plan. The mystery of his gospel has been given to us to reveal to the world. Hallelujah. That's an honor and a privilege. And there's people out there that want to hear. They have ears to hear. We're opening up their ears to hear as we present ourselves in the name of Jesus around the world. Pastor Tony is presenting himself, his members to the Lord, and the people, the ears are opening of the African people, and they're receiving the simplicity of the gospel that's been lost in religion, and they are so excited about it. They email me, and they are so excited about the change in their life and what God is doing in their life. They see things completely different. They see things the way God has shown us. The mystery of his gospel and the simplicity of his gospel, and that Jesus has already finished the work. He's completed the work. And we live and move and have our being in him now. And so we, by faith, appropriate what he's already done for us. It's very simple. So we thank you, Lord, for electing us by grace. Hallelujah. For already knowing us before we were even born and having a plan already laid out for us. That's phenomenal. And we could enter in by faith and agree with you and carry it out on your behalf. I can't think of nothing better that I'd rather line up my life to do. How about you? When the Africans find out about the grace of God, and how what he's already done, they automatically line their lives up with it. There's not even a question about it. They drop everything. Everything they used to think about, they drop, and they receive the glory of God. And they can't wait to give it back out. That's why Pastor Tony's addicted. I'm done too. I already have my life lived out 10 years from now. I'm thinking about it. The motor's going. The plans and the call. And I see the call on their lives. And I'm able to intercede and pray specifically the Lord's will into a nation. And it comes to be by faith. It's unstoppable, the grace of God. Because he's fixed our lives in advance. He predestined us to be great. He's predestined us to be like him. We could do the same by faith as we pray into the lives of others. We could pray into the lives of our families. We could pray into the lives of our relationships. We're going to be talking about that today, the richness of God. We talked about that last week. The richness of God. I want to read Romans 10:12 again. I wrote it down. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. And that richness, that glory, the glory of heaven, which we're now residents of, the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem that John saw in Revelation is already in the spiritual realm for us to join in on and live our life through that vision, through that glory and that understanding. We don't have to let the world around us dictate to us how we should act, how we should feel, how we should do things, how should we should respond to one another. We don't have to listen to the world's counsel. We have the kingdom of heaven's counsel, which far supersedes anything man can ever think or imagine. So why would we want to dwell on anything man has to say, anything doctors have to say, anything, any report that comes against you? It doesn't matter what that report is, because that's not the reality of who we are. So I would suggest that you stop getting the world's reports about you, because one might be good, but 10 might be bad. And then what do you do? Do you know how rich we are in Jesus Christ? That at any given second, because of our belief in him, healing could take place instantly. We don't have to go through the process of healing. We're already healed. And then if he wants to take us through a process to enrich our faith through our dependency on him, let him do what he wills for us. But don't do it in the reverse role, because it will bring you down. It will bog you down. The new covenant promises of God is wealth and health, all wrapped up in one. Whatever that means to him, it means to us. Our puny little minds can't reveal to us what that means to us. We have to take on the mind of Christ and see ourselves from his perspective, according to his condition of things, according to his will for our lives. His will becomes our will. We don't have to look at ourselves anymore. We could lose sight of ourselves in the presence of God. And now we could just look beyond ourselves. Our faith could take us way ahead of sickness, illness, and disease, where it can't even hold on to us anymore, because we're too far out in front of it by our belief system, by who we are in Christ and what we're doing. You think Pastor Tony's thinking about his hip right now? He never really thought about it. He saw the finished product of it, of the healing of God. And that, by faith, launched him out way ahead of the doctor's prognosis and got him where he needed to be. And what God did in his life through that several-week period, it's phenomenal. We all received a lot of that benefit, right? I did. It prepared me when he went down for a short time, which he didn't go down. He actually went up. But he was stationary, allowed me to walk in the call on my life and find out the destiny in my life for my future and your future as well, right? So God magnifies situations and circumstances for his honor and glory if we allow him to do that, because we are rich in mercy in Christ Jesus. To fellowship with him by grace, because he came in grace and truth, we come in grace and truth. Everything operates in that dimension. Not truth and grace and truth. For us to be able to have the gifts, to be able to function like him, to operate like him, to think like him, to be overcomers because he overcame the world. Every one of us in this room that believe in Jesus Christ and are born again are overcomers. We cannot be held back no matter what life throws at us. Yeah, we could complain a little bit and get it off our chest, but we know who we are in Christ, and we could go because he's given us the green light to go. Hallelujah. So our faith is magnified in him because it's actually his faith. When he breathed life into us, when we came into this world, he didn't only breathe our will into us, he breathed his will at the same time. He gave us a mustard seed of faith in order to be able to see him and receive him and know our need for him. He already predestined it before we were even born, before we took our first breath. So he has this whole thing under control. We could just drop it right now. A matter of fact, let's just drop it right now. Everything that we're trying to control, just drop it right now. Just take a moment of quiet time with God right now in his house around his table and say, Daddy, I drop all my problems that I think I have right now. Just talk to him. Elizabeth, come up here for a minute. Elizabeth, I want you to pray for this service. Okay? give you praise and glory, Lord. Hallelujah. Everything that's possessed by God has been released to us for our possession as the house of God and as individuals in Christ Jesus. Everything that he has belongs to us. The goodness, the forbearance, the fruit of the Spirit, his ability to not react to life's situations and circumstances so that we can allow faith in him to dictate our response and our answer. And the fact is that we're not going to back up, that we're going to continue to move forward in him, in Christ Jesus. We don't have to back up. We do not have to back up. We can be still and know that he is God, but we don't have to let the devil have any satisfaction in our lives because of the grace and glory of the living God that's been offered to us, that we received in him, and that we possess in him, in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. He's revealed his mystery to us. He's revealed his mystery to the apostles and the prophets to go and to reveal to the future children of God and to the children of God in who we are in him. And that's our hope and glory of who we are in him. And the nations are responding phenomenally. Pastor Tony's in Zimbabwe, which God has a mighty plan for Zimbabwe. And he's in Mozambique the following week, right? And he's entrusted the nations to us. This assembly right here. Some of you futurally are going to be in the nations, ministering the gospel, and your lives are going to be completely changed. You're going to have a whole new perspective on things, a whole new set of goals, a whole new way you're going to invest your money and invest your time and invest your life. You're going to know who you are in him, and that's a great advantage when you know who you are in him. Because now you're determined. There's nothing going to hold you back. There's nothing going to stop you because you know that he's already lived your life before you, and he's paved the way for you to be great in him. And the world wants to hear about it. They're looking at us, the sons of God, waiting for the glory to be revealed in us. And that's why every one of you are here today. Because God is going to deposit in you, even today, what you're going to need 10 years from now. There's no devil going to take you out in the name of Jesus until you fulfilled God's will in your life. Unless you choose it to happen. But I don't think any of us want to choose that to happen in here. Hallelujah. So I'm just going over a little bit about what I talked about last week, that we're his ambassadors to do his kingdom business. And kingdom business is miraculous. But that's normal for God. It's not even a word in God's vocabulary, miraculous, because that's him. And we have to believe that that's us, that we can release the miraculous as an evangelical tool to save souls. Because we have the goods. He's held nothing back. We have everything that we need to have supernatural ability to think what's ahead and not get caught up in our humanistic mindset. But we could think ahead in Christ Jesus, in eternal perspective of things, and be far ahead of all the problems that we see with our natural eyes every day, that we face every day. They're not problems to God. But if we're in our own understanding, they're going to seem like they're problems to us. But they're not problems to God. So if we see by his Spirit, in the spirit of his mind, and wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, then we don't have to allow the things of this world to hold us back. We can live well in advance of what's going on around us, and our faith will pull us out of situations, go right through them, and put us on platforms of influence that we never thought possible. I was at another church this morning, and I knew I was going to be speaking there today. I just felt new in the spirit, and sure enough, my son sang a song, it was beautiful, and the pastor called me up and wanted me to pray for the congregation. He gives us platforms of influence. All we have to do is show up, and he'll do the rest. You be ready to speak. You be ready to open your mouth and he'll fit the words that you need to speak instantly and perfectly according to his will and purpose that will impact the hearers that he's put before you. So because we're his new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Your marriage today is new. You don't have to look back at what your husband did yesterday that irritated you, because you're a new creation in Christ, and that has already been passed away. And so now we could look in the newness of the Spirit of God, that we're perfected in him, and that your husband's actually perfect in God's eyes, and your wife is actually perfect in God's eyes. So let's just live like we are. Let's not look around with our natural eyes looking at faults and finding things that God isn't even concerned about and doesn't even see. That's how a relationship flourishes. That we are like him. He's given us his glory. We have hope in him. Jesus in us is the hope of glory. So that's what we look at. That's what we see. We see the positive. We don't look at negative anymore. We see prosperity. We don't look at poverty anymore. We see health. We don't have to look at sickness anymore. If you're feeling sick and you start speaking those conditions over your life, well, then you'll be subject to them. But if you speak the truth of the reality of the kingdom over your life, that sickness cannot hold on to you in the name of Jesus. You will recover quick. You will advance quick. And even in our weakness, we're the strongest that we could possibly be in the Spirit. I've preached the most powerful messages when I was the weakest, that I barely could get to the place. I had to have help getting out of the van to get to the place where I was preaching. That's the condition I was in. But I wasn't going to let it stop me. And they put me in front of the pulpit, and all heaven broke loose. Because I'm not in the way in that condition. So don't look at weakness. Don't look at sickness. Don't look at those things as a hindrance. Look at it as a platform for you to preach the oracles of God with power and authority. Just get to where you need to go. Don't worry about the results. Just get where you have to go. Pastor Tony knows I just got to get where I have to go. 30 hours, it doesn't matter. I have to get where I have to go. I have to be focused on that. I have to be focused on the finish line for this mission. And if you focus on the finish line, you'll get to the finish line. If you look at all the struggles along the way to get to the finish line, then it will slow you down and it will discourage you in the name of Jesus, and we don't want to go in that route. So I'm wondering, why in Uganda is this pastor, this governor of this village, as we speak right now, is building a Bible college for Living for Jesus International to teach at? Why is he so interested in what I have to say to him? He is gearing up his whole life just for the message of the gospel that I'm going to be teaching at the Bible college. He's dropped pretty much everything. He's gone in a whole new direction. He's gone out of his way. He's told his whole village. He's got all his pastors together. He's so interested in the simplicity of the gospel. It's phenomenal. That's what God's looking for. That's what impresses God. When you hear his voice, you drop everything that you're accustomed to and you present yourself to him. And you speak about what he's doing. You witness about what he's doing. Now you become a pulpit wherever you go for him. And that's how you share the gospel. That's how you share the truth. In your conversations during the week, do you ever hear someone talk about their sickness or their problem? It happens all the time, probably 10 or 15 times a week. Do we take advantage of that? Let me tell you something right now. Soon as you hear somebody talking about their sickness, get up and go towards them, and the Holy Spirit will show you exactly what to do. You have to break that barrier wall of complacency of the natural realm and position yourself to be used of God for healing, salvation, and deliverance. And then watch what happens. Watch how your life is enriched. Watch how your life changes other lives. Just listen. They're all around. It happens all day long. Just take a moment. It only takes a minute. Don't blab your mouth about your religion. Just get right to the point and pray. Touch him. Just touch him. Don't even say much. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Healing. So they know in whose name they were touched by and what simple your belief system is in the gospel so a child can understand it. Don't be complicated. Don't tell them an hour's worth of religious things because they really don't want to hear what you have to say. They want to be healed. So just give them the goods right there. If it's money, present your resources to God and let him flow resources through you. Meet the need that's right in front of you. Fill your wallet up with some money. Don't go out without any money in your wallet. Go with the intention that you're going to be a giver and watch what happens. You watch what happens. Sow into the trips. If you can't go on a trip to Africa or to wherever this assembly is, sow into the sending somebody else and watch how you get blessed. Watch how your resources magnify. Watch how God fills your bank account because he knows that you're a conduit for him to distribute what he gives to you. He can trust you with wealth because the new covenant promise, if wealth is involved, then he has to be able to trust you with it. Some of my children I could trust with a lot of wealth. The others I have to give them just what they need for that specific time because they might get in trouble with it. So I want to let God know, based on my performance, it's not a performance-based God, it's a performance faith as far as how you're going to respond and how you're going to be use what God has given you. That type of trust that we have in him, but he wants to be able to trust us as well. And so that's a little bit about what we talked about last week. But God has a message for today. You want to hear it? He has a message for today. So I'm going to get to that. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now that word behold, I kind of looked it up and chewed on it for a while because I want to know what that means. And it means to by seeing in the spirit of the new covenant. First of all, you have to look by seeing in the spirit through the new covenant. That's how we have to vision everything. Every decision has to be made by grace through faith. Otherwise, it doesn't. Only by faith it pleases God. He's already pleased with us, but the pleasure of having a relationship with him, that's what he's concerned about. So as we see by faith through grace, by grace and truth, that is the lens that we look through in how we perceive, how we understand, how we make decisions. We don't just make decisions based on our reaction. We make our decisions based on running it by the Holy Spirit first. Because he lives inside of us. He knows and searches the mind of God and the heart of God. So because he dwells in us, we have that same ability to know the heart and mind of God to make good decisions. To not react and get ourselves into a bind, but react when the Spirit leads us and speak what he's already shown us to speak. It's a lot safer that way. It's a lot more powerful that way. And the devil has to flee when we operate that way. The other way, he could be right in the middle of it. When we react and we think in our own understanding, he taught us that understanding. So he could be right in the middle of it, and he could speak into your head, and you think it's yourself speaking into your head, and you just blab your mouth for him. And we don't want to do that because we can't save nations blabbing our mouth for him. We have to zip it up, pay attention, quick to listen, slow to speak, until you hear the voice of God and you speak what he says, because that's what Jesus did. He only spoke what he heard the Father speak. He only did what he saw the Father do. Because he was subject to him, he wasn't subject to his emotions and his feelings. He wasn't subject to the conditions around him. He was presented to sin, but he was without sin. So he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. And so he gives each one of us that supernatural ability to know what we're doing because we're his workmanship. This guy's a carpenter here, Lee. And we design things together. We go over things together. And he's very talented. He's very creative. And he could envision things and build them according to the vision that we had so that the customer will be blessed, the company will be blessed, and we'll give him a good professional product. He's good at what he does through his experience, but he also depends on God to show him. And so we could be the same way. That word behold is to behold by faith, to grab on to what God has shown us, the information he's shown us by faith. Now, since we're a new creation in Christ Jesus, we should have a new language now. We should have new reasoning abilities now. We should have a new understanding now, so that we don't get in the same situations that we got into before Jesus, before we became saved, before we became his child. So operate your marriage, operate your relationships out of the newness in Christ Jesus, not out of the oldness that got you in trouble to begin with. Out of the newness of the Spirit in Christ Jesus. So the perception, the experience, the new mindset, seeing our lenses of our spiritual eyes. Now, we don't look by our natural eyes anymore. We have spiritual eyes to see through the lens of grace, to see appearance. The appearances that we see through his eyes and his mindset, what appears before us. It's no mystery anymore. It doesn't have to catch us by surprise anymore. It's a supernatural vision. Without prophetic vision, God's people perish. That's what the Bible says. So we have to have spiritual understanding and prophetic vision to see well out before our lives so we can attach our faith to it, and the faith will grab a hold of our being and take us where God wants us to go according to his timing. It's nothing that we have to put effort into or we have to struggle to achieve. It's already been achieved for us in Christ Jesus. And so he goes before us in our business. He goes before us in our relationships. He goes before us in our children's lives. I could see in the future of my children's lives. I know what they're blessed in. I know what they're talented in. I know what the goals are that God has for them because he showed me. So that's how I pray and that's how I speak. I don't speak to their condition that they're falling short right now. I speak to the future of who they are in Christ and what God has created them to be. And so now I'm a motivator behind the scenes. I'm Jesus behind the scenes by his Spirit to speak into my children's lives, to speak into past failures in my lives that I want to be brought into the will of God that he intended from the beginning of time. I could do that. I could forgive people for their sins as I see how they operate, and I see what they say. God has given us the power to forgive sins so that their relationship with God or the voice of God isn't blocked by a wall that they built. I'm a wall knocker downer. I don't see walls anymore, but I could knock them down based on what comes out of their mouth. He's given us insight. He's given us perception. He saved us from humanistic ideas. Don't go daydream about some relationship that you want to have or some crazy thing that you... Just put the humanistic ideas, just bury them, just stop them. And meditate on the Word of God. Meditate on the call on your life. Meditate on hearing the voice of God. Responding to what he has to say. Kingdom insight, kingdom understanding. The new heavens and the new earth comes with the new life in Christ Jesus. The new Jerusalem that's breaking through, that's already in the Spirit that John saw. He saw it, so it's alive, and it's in the Spirit. That's where we operate from. That's where our headquarters are. We're going to be government officials in the new heavens and the new earth and in the new Jerusalem. So we have to see that way so we could be operating that way here. Are we taking over lands and governments here? That's my desire. That's my what I want in Christ Jesus. I've been in the police force in Guyana, South America. The chaplain got sick. They heard I was in town. They said, let him preach to the 80 guys there. He has something to tell them. We're hurting here. We don't have the supplies. We don't have the equipment. And we're getting beat up by the bandits. So I don't even know where to go. They take me there, and they sit me right in the middle of these 70 guys looking like this at me. Well, I can't look at my situation in my natural eyes. They want to hear God from me. They want to hear something tangible so that they can be successful. So by faith, took a deep breath, I opened my mouth, and God poured into their lives, and they were set free from fear, from lies, from deception, from lack of materials and lack of understanding. They knew who they were in Christ. They knew how to pray, and they knew that they can go to the church for help. Not to the world for help. God shared his glory with the church. He's allowed the church to govern the world in him. We're a new government that takes over the oldness of what the world operates in, and we intervene and bring in the newness of Christ Jesus by the gospel. And so behold, things have become new. Things have become new. Now, newness means, in definition-wise, unused. So when we take our newness of life that's unused by this world, we're a new creation now. The world didn't interfere with this newness, this new life that we have now. Now this new life is completely baptized in the Holy Spirit for the Holy Spirit to bring the newness of God into every situation that we operate in. The world can't taint it. It's already glorious and perfect in Christ Jesus. That's the mindset, the on-time mindset that I want to operate in Christ Jesus. I want to operate on that on-time mindset where I know where to be, when I need to be there, and to speak what he wants me to speak, because I knew when I went to that church this morning, somehow I was going to speak there. Because I know in the future that I'm going to have the opportunity to get behind that pulpit and teach hundreds of people the simplicity of the gospel because they don't know it. They don't know who they are in Christ. They don't know how to use their resources for God. They don't know how they can, by their decisions now, is going to affect their rewards in heaven. What's going to affect your rewards in heaven is what you do here on earth. So we can't keep doing the same old, and expect different results. We have to get into the wind of the Spirit, in the mind of Christ, in his understanding, so that we can have a different nature and people can see it and God can work in their lives to give them a hunger for what we have. Then it's easy to minister to somebody. My children know that I'm not going to judge them. So when they don't have a problem, they don't come to me. They just walk right by me. Everything's great. Hey, it's good. I'm working hard. As soon as they have a problem, they come right to me. Text, phone, they come over. Dad. Oh, what would you need? I meet the need. I speak to them in the mind of Christ, in the way God would handle it, and what he would do, and what he would say, what he wouldn't say. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thanks so much. Thanks. Can you pray for me, Daddy? Sure, no problem. The message, the preparation of the message is easy. God already created for you to operate in it, and he has all the avenues for us to operate in it. We don't have to go looking for him or force the gospel down anybody's throat. If you're doing that, you're doing it in your own strength, and you're not going to get good results, because I used to do it that way. They used to hide from me. Here he comes. Here he comes. You know what you're going to get. No. We have a new language that's been hidden and has never been heard before by the church. And so we can ignite and enlighten and enrich everywhere we go There's ministers, this whole place I see right now in the Spirit, you behind a pulpit, revealing the mystery of Jesus Christ. People are hungry. Are they hungry? To hear. Hallelujah. We're new men and women in Christ Jesus. This newness, this new heaven and a new earth, I wasn't even thinking about going into Revelation, but last night, as I was contemplating the newness, he brought me to the fact that this new heaven and a new earth and this new Jerusalem, we're already operating in it. We're already entrenched in the reality of how that new kingdom and new heaven and new earth operates. All the benefits of God are wrought out of that place of glory and perfection. There's no sickness. There's no sorrow anymore. There's no problems anymore. I don't see problems anymore. When panic comes and problems get thrown at me, I don't react to those things. I pray. I ask the Lord, okay, how can I be positioned in a place to be able to put the fire out? I'm not going to be able to put the fire out by reacting in panic and, oh, I got to hurry up and get this done because if I, no, that's not how you operate. You let God work out the details. You let God work out the pace. You let God arrange it, put things into position. And then once he does that, then you could confidently go in there and you could speak to the issue and you can resolve it instantly. And peace comes upon the hearers of the fact that you're confident and that you already know the outcome, it's going to be good. That's what the world's looking for. This world's upside down. This world is banged around by news that doesn't even make any sense. They're trying to make sense out of the news of the world. And it's designed to confuse you. It's designed to confuse you. So if you already know the good news, you already know in advance, you already know situations before they even happen, now you can watch the news and watch the devil brag because he likes to brag. And you can find out the strongholds through how he brags on what he's doing and what he's saying and how he's trying to control things, what he's lying about, what he's not really talking about that needs to be talked about. You could be in the air traffic control center and start moving that stuff by how you see it and how you believe and what words come out of your mouth. When God shows you something, don't be quiet about it. Speak it into the atmosphere. It doesn't have to be loud, but it needs to be spoken into the atmosphere. Trump doesn't know it, but I'm one of his best buddies. I helped that guy so much in the spirit. And when I see things, I declare it stopped. Lord, if you want that person out of the way, or if you want that person in the way, either save them, and if they're not willing to get saved, get them out. Just get them out of the way and put them where you want them to go. Maybe they'll get saved someday, but let's get somebody in there that's going to go to bat for you. It's not a bad prayer. That's according to God's will. Forgive them for their sins and let them hear the truth. But get them out of the way if they need to get out of the way. No witchcraft prayers, no controlling prayers, just whatever your will is, Lord, that's going to help the course of direction for this nation in the name of Jesus, because this is a great nation. We've sent more missionaries into the world than any nation in the world's history. God's had a plan for America since the origin of it, based on his word, based on his government, based on the Constitution that's derived from the Bible and the principles of the Bible and the Constitution of it all and the fairness of it all and the equality of it all, but man has disturbed it and profited by it and used it wrongly. And we don't have to settle for that because we're the one in authority, the church. The pastors of the churches are in authority more than the president of the United States is. But they don't know it. They're afraid that the government might bother them or come into their doors or do something to harm them. Well, we should be preaching a message that gets the government's attention. We're doing it in Uganda. The government wants us to preach the gospel and wants us to take over. They feel safer when we're in control than when the secular government is in control and the secular church is in control. They don't want that anymore. They know the result of that. For hundreds of years, they've been getting junk. And so we don't have to settle for that. We could be God's spokesman. We could be His, the new wine of His kingdom. Hallelujah. When I first started, I had a lot of hair and size 11 feet. Now I have no hair and 14 size feet, so you go figure it out. Things are going backwards. They're reversed. I can't change it. I have to go with it. I have to get new shoes. I have to, you know, style. I have a little fuzz this week. It's styled a little bit different. But I can't complain about it. He's made me who I am in Him. He changes things around. He does what He wills when He wants to will it. The mystery is revealed, and I'm just glad I'm part of it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And so He's stirring you up because you've been planted in the new heaven and the new earth, but we don't see ourselves there. We're too conditioned to be involved with what we see down here because we're right in the middle of the churn of it all. Right in the middle of the commercials that talk about drugs every 5 minutes. This is what you should be on. This is the sickness you have. This is what you need. This is what you're too fat. You need this. You need tattoos. You need all these things that you think you need that you don't need any of it. We have everything in Christ Jesus. So don't even get disturbed with that. You don't have to know all the answers. We have Him, so really we know all the answers. The reason why you go visit a doctor when you really don't need to do it is because the devil has you in fear that you're going to die. And that you better get that checked out, because Aunt Sally said you better get that checked out. Otherwise you could get in trouble. I know. No, don't listen to Aunt Sally. Don't get 10 different opinions. Go to the Holy Ghost. Rest in Him. Do everything you can do to rest. And Pastor Tony says what? God will do the rest. You rest in Him. You lose sight of yourself. I got a lot of issues, conditions in my life. I don't look at them. I'm surprised I even remember the conditions I had in my life. I'm so far ahead of them in the Spirit that either they have to fall off, because that's what I'm believing for, because sickness can't be in the glory of God. Sickness can't be in the presence of God. And when you're going and you're involved with millions of Africans, forget about yourself. You go there, you'll see a lot worse problems than you do here. I see some people there, I'm saying, thank God I only have a couple things that are going on. You know, I don't even need to be concerned about that. I know I'm already healed, so I'm going regardless. I'm going regardless. Don't go. The doctor said, Pastor Tony, your hip isn't healed yet. I'm going. Sorry, it's already booked. Book it before it even comes. Book it in advance. Book a trip in advance, even though you don't have the money. Book it in advance. And then you have to go. Then you get out of your comfort zone. You get out of your comfort zone. The prophetic vision will get you out of your comfort zone. You will not rely on yourself anymore. You can't rely on yourself anymore because you've burned all the bridges in humanistic principles and understanding. We have to get into the supernatural realm. It's a lot in one sentence there. Hallelujah. And so I want to read something to you in Revelation, Revelation 3, just so we could see from the other side. I've watched a couple football games that when I was watching it, my team was playing and I was nervous. I was praying. I was, oh, please, God, help them. And the coach is sweating on the sidelines. The players are worried. They're praying. And they won the game. Now I see the replay of it. And I'm sitting back as cool as a cat because I already know who won. I'm thinking to myself, man, if that coach ever knew he won before he won, he wouldn't be sweating his pulling his hair out. The guys are yelling at each other, and commotion's going on. The crowd's yelling. It wouldn't have to be. It would just be sitting back. I'm just sitting back, relaxing. Oh, yeah, no problem. I knew that was going to happen. You know, they already won. And, I mean, I enjoyed watching it under those conditions, but the second condition was a piece of cake. God already has seen the beginning from the end. So let's look at Revelation 3. The Bible says in verse 10, because you have kept my commandment to preserve, you've kept my word to preserve, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The Lord, he will keep us. That is our assurance. So if we stay steadfast in the Lord and don't allow the conditions of this world to one way in any shape or form move us in any direction, but us to be fixed on the Lord and stay focused on him, because the more there's technology in the world, the Lord can use it, but the devil can use it even more if you let him. Look at our children nowadays. I go out to lunch with them. If they look up one time, they wouldn't even know. I could have got up and left her on their phone. They wouldn't even have known I left. It's crazy. You know, it's like, what is going on? How can that have so much of a control? Well, that's what's going to happen in the end times. He's trying to convert your attention to him, because he's even going to do miracles in the end times. Fake ones, but he could do that. He has power to deceive. He has magic powers. He has witchcraft powers. He has deceptive powers for you to think something that really isn't. That's what he does his best at. So we can't get conditioned in that mindset. We have to be conditioned in a new heaven and a new earth, and that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that we're seated in heaven in Christ Jesus in heavenly places, that's our new home. We're just passing through here. We're just being productive here for the kingdom. We're not here for the world to drag us into its mold. We're moldless. We're eternal in the name of Jesus. We don't have to be subject to the world anymore. We live in the abundance of God. And so we have to see through that lens by the grace of God, by the predestination of God, that he's already fixed our lives in advance. And now we can live and move in him. And now we have a new life to live out. Amen? Amen. So let's look at another couple of verses in Revelation that will help us get a different mindset on things. Revelation 21, verse 2, because all things are made new. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Behold, be attentive. By faith, grab a hold of the fact that all things have become new. My nature has become new. My willingness not to want to sin anymore has become new. Sin doesn't have dominion over me because I'm a new creation in Christ and I'm not under the law anymore. I'm in the Spirit. So that old law is under the new law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that has set me free from the old law. And so now I'm liberated. Now I'm free. Now I could live in the Spirit. I could be in heaven at the same time I'm here on earth. I'm in heaven at the same time I'm preaching here on earth. I'm getting my information from heaven. It's bypassing my natural mind, coming through, going into my spirit, and then back out. I'm not relying on my natural understanding, as you could tell. Because this kind of information, you just don't learn. The devil doesn't teach it to you. The schools do. The colleges do. The media does. Unbelievers do, but not the Holy Spirit, because he's our new teacher now. He's our new guide. He's our new lawyer. He's our new interpreter now. He's our road signs now that we follow. We don't follow. We don't have to have signs, natural signs anymore. We have all his verbiage and signage that we need to speak what he wants us to speak. And so let's look at all things are made new. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Okay, this is what he saw. He's revealing by the Spirit what he saw. Okay, so if he saw it in the Spirit, the glory of it, and the intent of it by God for us to operate in and be the governors of and the overseers of, and we're positioned in that place of authority to take over and to implement into this world the authority of God and the will of God. From that place of perfection, not from man's way of thinking. And it makes us much wiser. It makes us more understanding. It gives us supernatural ability to lay hands on the sick and know that they're going to recover, not wonder if they're going to recover. The more you do it, the less you wonder if they're going to recover, because the results are not left up to you anymore. They're left up to God. So this person might give you a phone call 10 years from now and say, remember when you gave me this, or remember when you did this for me, remember when you prayed for me? It was unbelievable. God did so much in my life. I'm a changed person. Now, just from that 1 minute of point of contact where the kingdom of heaven broke through and completely changed that prayer. How many times has that happened to some of you? So we have a plan and purpose. It's been prepared for us like a bride adorned for her husband. Well, we're the bride of Christ adorned for the husband. He's coming back, and he's taking us to a new heaven and a new earth. Our decisions here on earth are going to determine how we flow in that currency and in that government and what we're going to be responsible for. Are you going to be responsible for cities? Are you going to be what are you going to be responsible for? Start doing it now. We're taking over cities and governments in Africa right now, and it's going to follow in America in the name of Jesus. The darkness cannot hide from the light anymore, because we're loosening it from the pulpit right now in the name of Jesus. I have agreement in this room right now to transform our government in the name of Jesus and get the darkness out of the way, cast out hell and its objectives to try to suppress the United States of America, and we loose the Spirit of the living God right now to take over and to assist President Trump into having the mindset of Christ and the cabinet he needs around them for agreement, because that's all we need is agreement in the Spirit, and it will be implemented in Jesus' name. We have the power to do that. Our soldiers are dying for America, fighting in all these battles that we, if we take over in the Spirit, we don't, even our enemies will be at peace with us. Hallelujah. I'm going to read few more verses, and then we're going to pray for Pastor Tony. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain. For former things have passed away, and I command the former things of pain to pass away right now in the name of Jesus. No longer can they hold on to the children of God. Pain, leave in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the foundation of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Hallelujah. And then he talked about those who don't overcome after that, but I don't even want to talk about that. We don't have to be that way anymore. We don't have to be fearful. We don't have to doubt anymore. Then one of the seven angels who had seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride of the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the spirit to the great and high mountain and showed me this great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like the most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, and names were written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Three gates on the east, three gates at the north, three gates at the south, and three gates at the west. See, Trump wants to build the gate. He already has one built. It's already built. He has to speak that currency into existence. He has to fill up Americans' knowledge and understanding with the truth of God that this has already been done. We have to protect our borders. We don't let anyone in and try to influence it in any way, but this has already been done already. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates and its walls. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length, breadth, and the height are equal. Then he measured its walls 140 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. We have authority over angels now in the new covenant in the name of Jesus. The construction of its walls was jasper, and the city was pure gold like glass. The foundation of the city walls were adorned with all kinds of precious stones, and you can read the precious stones. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was one pearl. And the streets of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Okay, so is that a different picture that you see your new home in? That's where you really live. But we cheat ourselves thinking that, oh, we have to pay rent here. I would rather have a bigger house. I wish I had more money to be able to buy. We get too consumed in stuff that has no bearing over our future in Christ Jesus. We could look well in advance of where we truly live, what we truly have, and speak it into existence in the name of Jesus. And that's what we've been doing. Because in order to be influential in millions of Africans' lives, you need millions of dollars to do that. Otherwise, it'll take 100 years. We need to do it in the next 10. So we have to have that kingdom mindset, the understanding of the fact that if the gold streets are crystal clear, they're worth a lot of money, and that money belongs to me right now for what I need it for. So I have to be able to cash in somewhere and somehow now. I can't wait. The vision has already been implemented. I already said yes to the call, and now I need the resources to be able to fulfill, according to God's terminology, how all this has to come together. I have to already live it and speak it and show the spiritual realm that I mean business. Because then they have to get out of the way. They cannot hold back the glory of God if you're putting a demand on it like that. Amen? So just put that in your pipe and smoke it. And let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your mindset, your development, your understanding. You are the architect. You are the doctor. You are the lawyer. You are the assurance company, the blessed assurance of who you are and who we are in you. And we have nothing to fear, nothing to worry about. We have to lose our life in order to find it. So stop going to the doctor to try to get help to save your life, because it ain't going to work. You have to lose it first in order for you to find it. Get God's report. We want your report, Lord God, all the time, running 24/7 in our mind. We give no room for man's report because they're going to be inaccurate. And they can't do nothing about it because they cause a lot of the problems in the first place. and they're only practicing anyway. We want to go to the author and finisher of our faith, Christ Jesus. Because we're one perfect man in him as an assembly of the living God. We're already perfect in him. No sickness, illness, or disease can stay in this tabernacle of God and in your tabernacle in Jesus' name. No doubt, no corruption, no deception, no depression. All of it has to go in the name of Jesus. It's worthless and useless, and we don't want any part of it in the name of Jesus. So we thank you for health and well-being in our families and in our marriages and in our children's future. We already bank on the fact that you went before them and you have your perfect will already been released, and we believe your will over our own will and over their will in Jesus' name. So we thank you for the outpouring, Lord God. We are one in you. We are secure and satisfied in you. We have everything in you, and we're going to declare that today, and we thank you for that, for the government of the United States, all the soldiers that were harmed and died and families that have suffered because of it. We pray your waves of deliverance and your waves of healing, and that you would impart to them what you just showed us today. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. We bless Pastor Tony. We thank you that everywhere his soles of his feet land, that they are taken for your kingdom and never going to return back to the world's control any longer in the name of Jesus. We thank you for raising up men, women, and children that will stand for you, that are fearless, and that will speak your oracles of life, and death will have to flee. So we thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.